praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Another one is Christ among them, but they refuse to recognize him. Now, the previous one is they don't know that he is there. Because after they knew he is there, they recognize him. But now, he is there. They don't say not him, but they will not recognize him. The Pharisees in Luke chapter 7. Okay, let's read Luke chapter 7, verse 36. This was what happened. Brother Abraham made a lot of reference to this scripture in many of his messages. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 39. And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat food. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She was weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees, which had beaten him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, this Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner." The Pharisees, first and foremost, they don't like Jesus. And here is a Pharisee that invited Jesus, because they were the holy people, self-righteousness, the holy, holy people. And now he organized something, and now a feast, and invited Jesus. And Jesus came. Now, they were seeing themselves even better than Jesus. They are saying, if this man were a prophet, that means they don't believe him to be a prophet. If he's a prophet, he will have known that this woman is a sinner. And this sinner, oh, glory be to God. I know many of you have sent me messages reminding me that I say I will preach a message on the mercy of God. I have not forgotten. I will preach it. Because this is one of the examples for mercy. Now, this woman was a sinner. She did not find herself worthy. But she had a sinner. But she had a revelation of who Jesus was. The revelation that sinner had, that Pharisee did not have it. It reflects in their approach to him. It reflects in the way we approach Jesus Christ. Holy brother, holy sister. Hallelujah. See the way you are treating him. But see a sinner. A sinner. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Two groups of people come to this church. Why do you see somebody who is very worldly, your friend? Your friend that has boyfriends everywhere. You know who she is. And then you are always condemning her. You're always condemning her. But suddenly, she followed you to church. While you were entering your own church, a holy sister, we are in the message. This sister will know the kind church where they attend today. Now, follow me. This my friend, follow me, come church. Then, you know all the songs or hymn book. You are converted. She's still having boyfriend. You don't have boyfriend. Then, unknown to you, that sister, as she entered, she felt the presence of God. She had something and began to cry on her seat. In her heart, "Lord, have mercy. Hey, I did that a joke with my life. I don't want to say something to go on here." While she's saying that, God is ministering her case to Igbo, to a prophet. "You have been coming here for the past 3 years, not one time Has God ever spoken to you? You are still crying, doing dry fasting concerning your marriage. Nothing spoken. But that day you enter here, the one you have condemned as a sinner, suddenly, you have a boyfriend. You're coming here for the first time. You say, yes, yes. And she's crying. You don't know why she's crying. She's crying because a sinner like me, God is picking me. And a holy sister like you, God will not pick you. Why? It's your attitude towards Jesus. That was the attitude. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do you recognize him? With your hand, chest open. That you deserve to be blessed, whether you like it or not. Because you fast always. No man sleeps with you. You don't understand mercy. This woman came with all that she had. The best of the precious perfumes she had. In a precious alabaster box. Specially designed for keeping expensive perfume. That is all the best she had. And she decided to take it. Hallelujah. To bring it as an offering to beautify Jesus. And she doesn't know whether if she does this, Jesus will turn and look at her and forgive her sins. And while she was doing that, the Pharisees looking and saying, see this sinner touching Jesus. It is the touch of sinners that attract the attention of Jesus Christ. Righteous people don't need him. It is the unrighteous that need him. When we talk about mercy, don't worry. We'll explain what mercy is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the other group, he said, those that have zeal, but not unto knowledge. Not according to knowledge. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. It says, let's read it. Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. Concerning Israel. They have a zeal. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. Everybody sees that they have a zeal of God. But not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. For they be ignorant. They are ignorant of God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Very zealous. But that zeal is not according to knowledge. And it will never be accepted like that of Cain. Will not be accepted. And that is why we see Israel could not benefit from grace. The majority of them. We have a picture of Cornelius. The Bible describes Cornelius, a Gentile, but loved God so much. He loved God. He gave alms. He was devoted to serving God. But, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3, there's something God says here. But if any man love God, the same is known of God. If you know God, if you acknowledge him, that is what that scripture means. Any man that acknowledge God, God also will know you. He will also acknowledge you. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says, God knoweth them that trust him. He knows. And that is why he decided to visit Cornelius. He sent Peter. And Peter broke down the bread of revelation. Hallelujah. Broke it down for him. Who the true God is. That is what many of us need to know. Who the true God is. And that true God sent his son Jesus Christ. And Peter began to tell him who Jesus is. And he was so open that while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. They received Jesus Christ. They were serving God. But they were serving him not according to knowledge. Now that he received knowledge, he received the Holy Ghost. Somebody in this period, you will receive the Holy Ghost. You were going to church. But now you will know you have come to a church with difference. Because of what you will be hearing here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 18, there is another man, Apollos. Apollos also, all he believed was John, the message of John. And he went everywhere preaching it. Hallelujah. But there was also a group of people, Aquila and Priscilla, a man and his wife, that fell under the same category. But luckily for them, they met with Apostle Paul. Because Apostle Paul stayed with them. They were of the same handcraft with Apostle Paul. According to the Bible, they were tent makers. So they stayed together to make ends meet while Paul was doing his ministry. They learned very well. Now, Paul had departed. Now, Apollos went up and down preaching what he knew through the message of John the Baptist. But he was zealous, not according to knowledge. Not knowing that. The Bible, the salvation has passed the level of John the Baptist. Oh, glory be to God. And then he came one day preaching, and as Aquila and Apollo and Priscilla saw him, they invited him to their house. He stayed with them, and then they broke it down. Anytime I see that, I see my zealous Pentecostal preachers who go about sincere but sincerely wrong. Oh, if you can just, you know, give them this entire message. Pastor, don't condemn them. When you see sincerity, don't condemn them. Bring them closer. There's something they need to know. If they go with that zeal, they will do better with the message than some of us are doing. That's exactly what they achieved with Apollos. They needed Aquila and Priscilla. He needed them. And they did a good job on him. And some people use that to have husband and wife ministry. That does not justify it one bit. Because if you come to my house, you ask me Bible question, and my wife is sitting down, most of it is my wife that will explain it to you. When we are at home, she sits down there, and there are some things why I talk now. She's there noting all the mistakes why I do now. When we reach house, she goes, show me. It's true. That does not mean that she now becomes my deputy general overseer. National and international coordinator. Reverend Mrs. Dr. Clara Alu. Praise the Lord. A television station took time. For 3 months, they were disturbing her to come. Because they heard me preaching that a woman cannot be ordained. Then I said, okay, what did this man wife? What did they do for ministry? They wanted to come and interview her on a live program on the television. It took her time. I had to beg her, convince her, before she went to tell them. And when she was breaking down the word, they said, but you are a pastor. Praise the Lord. So, it is nothing but she taking her own place. So, Aquila and Priscilla was not mommy and daddy church. Apostle Paul saw another group like I made reference. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? In Acts chapter 19, the first 5 verses there, you can get it. And he broke it down for them. And then they believed. They baptized in the name of Jesus. He laid hand on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Yet they were zealous until they got to know the truth. Somebody here, after this program, your eyes will be open. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't be like those who are doing God a service, but doing it erroneously. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 21, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Because saying that day, some will say, I did this, I did that, I cast out devils, I did it in your name. He said, I didn't know you. You see? So you are serving God but very, very ignorantly. And God will not accept it. Praise the Lord. Finally, I'm looking at the entire message. Followers of the ministry of William Branham, the seventh angel messenger, one more time. And they belong to two groups. One is the group, hallelujah, that had the message, the denomination, they rejected him. He is that servant that came at supper time that Jesus Christ spoke in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 27. They rejected him. Remember, that servant came at supper at evening time, the last church age, before the rapture, the evening of God's program. God sent us a messenger. They rejected him. It is William Branham's ministry, you see, in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 up to verse 24. And he said, none of those that rejected him will be partaker of that supper. None of the denomination can never be part of the rapture. That's why he shouted, come out of her, my people. They turned him down. They will never be part of the supper. And that supper is the end time message, the revelation we are having now. They will never know it. So don't be surprised that they can't even understand water baptism. As simple as that revelation is, they rejected the messenger. He closed their eyes of revelation. They will not be partaker of this precious evening meal. For he said at evening time, there shall be light. Zechariah 14 verse 7. At evening time, there shall be light. And there is a light bearer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the second group of people are those who have received William Branham, but they worship him. They are the worst Christians that I have seen on earth. Seven church ages. Seven star messenger. Each messenger to every age. We now see what is happening in the Laodicean church age in the last six ages. It's only this age that Satan planted his tares to mess up this precious message that God sent to us. Church, there are people that are baptizing in the name of William Branham. Church, there are people that don't read the Bible anymore, only the messages of William Branham. If you attend their churches, quote to quote, they said they have nothing, they don't need the Bible anymore. I have heard it. Now the truth has come. He said, before when Abraham came, did you understand the Bible? Now that he has come, we don't need that anymore. We now have. All they do is, you enter there, all they are doing is playing a tape. All you want to do is cassette they are playing. Message that was preached in 1958. When Brother Branham said in the tape, praise the Lord, everybody will say hallelujah. They say, let us pray. They bow down their head. For tape. And then he's greeting Brother Neville. And he's greeting Hoffman. And he's greeting everybody in 1958. And then they're sitting there and they say, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Ah! There was a picture I saw that they put the picture of William Branham. Now they pray in the name of William Branham. And they were bowing down before that image, William Branham. They put a big picture and then they were worshipping it and they were praying like Catholics do to Hail Mary. Ah! Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Revelation chapter 22. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 22. From verse 6 to verse 10. Take note, there's something I want to bring out here. And the angel now said unto me, John is narrating, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said that angel unto me, see, thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. What did he say? Worship God. Worship God. He wanted to worship an angel that brought a message to his servants. But the angel rebuked him. Don't do that. I am a fellow servant like all the rest. The only person you should worship is who? Worship God. Worship God. Not to worship the angel of the God. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Enter, blessed believers. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying what? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They saw his star. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. In the right hand of Jesus Christ, there are how many stars? 7 stars. And how many candlesticks? 7 candlesticks. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Okay, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. That's what I'm looking for. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 16. Hallelujah. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. That is where I am going. Now go to verse 20. Verse 20. The mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. We broke this down. If you have not heard that book, that message will Abraham preach, get a copy at the tape stand or order for one. We endeavor to get it to you. The exposition of the 7 church ages. It is Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Broken down for the bride only. The rest will never know it. Because it is part of God's divine agenda. Each age, the candlesticks, had a star, the light bearer, that held the light for that age. That's why, in this last age, God revealed his servant William Branham and allow the science to catch his supernatural presence of that halo of light on top of his head. The pillar of fire showing where the light is now in this dark denominational age. You see? He was the star messenger to show us where Christ the Word is. And wise men in the east saw his star. They did not worship the star. Enter, message believer. Why are you worshiping William Branham, the star messenger? He has a message to point you to where the king is. They followed that star and it took them to Jerusalem. They followed that star right to where Jesus was born. And they met him. The Bible said they were glad with joy and they worshipped Jesus, the baby. They did not worship the star. The star is not to be worshipped. He is only a messenger with a message. The emphasis is the message, not the messenger. Anybody holding this entire message and worshiping William Branham directly or indirectly, you are an antichrist. See them. See what they are doing. If you can look at the screen. That is what they are doing all around the world. Worshiping William Branham. Worshipping a man, a sinner saved by grace. William Branham's blood has nothing to add to my salvation. It is only his obedience that has allowed me to see and know the truth and know the light. Nothing beyond that. He had a message. And I'm a follower of that message. I'm a preacher of that message. Everything I preach here is the message delivered by that servant of God, William Marion Branham. He came and made this Bible understandable to me. He made me to respect this Bible. If not for his ministry, this book would have been secondary. Then I would have been holding on to some denominational creeds and dogmas. With the articles of faith in this church, this is what we believe. This is what we believe. This is what we believe. And you can't do anything more than that. You do it, they will sack you. If not for this man that made me to respect this Bible. That's why forever I will continue to thank God for the ministry of that man. Praise the Lord. We have seen his star and we have come to worship him. They saw the child and they worship him. They worship him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's one interesting thing that happened in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's read it. John chapter 1, verse 35. John chapter 1. See what happened between John and his disciples. Now, in John chapter 1, and verse 35. And the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him. What did they do? They left John the Baptist. As soon as John showed them, "Behold the Lamb of God," and showed them, see Jesus, oh, see your Savior there. They did not stay again. You don't hear them again following John. Hallelujah. They did come, read the story down. They saw Jesus. They followed him, "Master, where are you dwelling?" He said, "Come and see now." He stayed with them. The next thing they followed, they began to go and tell other people, "Come and see William Branham." Is that what they were saying? They were preaching John, Abby. They went immediately, found their brothers. "Come and see Jesus. Andrew, come and see something. This one, come and see something." That is what is supposed to be done. We have caught a revelation. Preach the revelation. Preach what he has opened our eyes to see. That is the problem with the end time message. But this church, it is no more our problem. Like it can never be our problem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. "How be it then, idol worshippers, idolaters, when you knew not God, before you were converted, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods? But now that you have known the truth," after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, "how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements? Where don't you desire again to be in bondage?" Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. "Wherefore remember, Gentiles." Remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, by the Jews. They call us all manner of names. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That is the assurance of our salvation. You don't assume that. This is who we are when we come to Christ. Philippians chapter 3. Finally. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Am I correct? From verse 3. If you are with me. For we are, and this is a serious scripture. Listen very well. For we, I'm talking to the bride of Jesus Christ, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. He's talking about the Jews that are now converted. Which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We are not saved because of any ordinances we keep. Because we don't do certain things. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, he say, I the more, I trust more, I have more things to boast of. And this is what he can boast on, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, his zeal when so he was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Then he added, but what things were gained to me, this I counted loss for Christ. Hey. Yeah, doubtless. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung, shit, excreta, that I may win Christ. So, what have you sacrificed to win Christ? What have you lost? What is your testimony for coming to Christ? What did it cost you? This is what it cost Paul. All that he achieved, he dropped it. He would have been a serious reverend doctor, an archbishop. He dropped that. And be found in him, verse 9. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is why he dropped all, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see? Not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, whatever level we are now, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. And the church, we say, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. And he said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. For God is a consuming fire. And he said, woe to him that desire the day of the Lord. Therefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Shall we bow down our heads? Just bow down your heads. I took time because somebody is going to also take time and listen to this message. Because it's a period to look inward. Don't assume you are saved. Ensure you are saved. The evidence you are saved. The evidence. But for now, are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Say by grace. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Say by. Answer somebody. In that number, say by grace, I am in that number. In that number, I am in that number. Say, I am in that number. I am in that number. I am in that number. Say by grace. I am in that number. I am in that number. I am in that number. Say by grace. Ask yourself, am I in that number? Am I in that number? Am I in that number? Say by grace, am I in that number? Am I in that number? That's the question you should ask yourself. Say, am I in that number?
Am I in that number?
Ask yourself, am I in that number?
Am I in that number?
Say, by grace.
Am I in that number? Am I in that number? Am I in that number? Say,
in Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord cause somebody to effectively take an inner look at your life that will cause you to make a better decision than ever before. To be serious with God. If you are not part of the program of God, you won't locate a ministry like this. If you are not an elect, you won't be here to hear what you are hearing now. But what other excuse will you have if you get careless with your Christian life in this last age, in this closing time of grace, and you find yourself not able to make it with the rest of us? He said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, few are chosen. Few. Father, help us. May you reveal yourself to somebody that needs to know you, Lord. Do something that will wake the slumbering Christians, the bride of Christ. Do something that will restore us back to fellowship with the Spirit, Lord. More spiritual and less worldly, Father. That's our desire throughout this period. May we be more like you, Jesus. May the backsliding be restored, Holy Ghost. May that fire revival that was in us from the beginning be returned, Lord. May true Christian love be established among us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. If you are happy, can you clap your hands again for the Lord? Amen.